answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israel is a democracy. 5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. At a time when so many Israelis have lost their confidence in the vision and direction of their government.
There you have it. You have Senator Chuck Schumer interfering with Israeli elections, suggesting that now is the time that maybe Israel should reconsider who's leading their nation, Netanyahu. We know Biden and Netanyahu have not gotten along together at all. And in fact, Biden snubbed Netanyahu when he wanted to come to the White House. Trump, of course, made plenty of time for him. American Jews that I know cannot believe Schumer is a practicing Jew in the sense that he seems to always be falling on the side of the progressives that are more about Palestinians controlling everything over there. Now, Schumer probably would deny that. But, of course, we know the Squad and other members like that are the ones that shout out from the river to the sea, and that means to wipe out Israel. And I have yet to hear Schumer denounce them for that statement. And now he dares say that maybe Israel should consider who's leading their country. Is it right for a U.S. senator to make a decision about another country's leadership and even calling for an election while they're in the midst of a war at this point? I'm looking at several of the responses already after Schumer made this, because Schumer also added that, as you're going to hear a little bit later, that Netanyahu is an obstacle to peace. In other words, the only reason that there has not been a ceasefire, a full ceasefire, is because of Netanyahu. Now, I find that hard to believe. Do you? And, of course, we also know that while we want to get aid to Gazans who truly are in need, Palestinians inside Gaza, we have to make sure it actually gets to them and not to Hamas. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, second hour of Larry Connors USA, March 14, 2024. We are here 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday through Friday for you. And when we're on the air, we are rolling video for you, streaming at News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. Anything you miss, you can always pull up as a podcast at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, or Larry Connors USA Twitter, available for you. So you can pull it up, listen to it, and at the time, then turn around and share it with others, which I certainly encourage that you do so. So once again, back to Schumer explaining why he thinks there needs to be a change of leadership in Israel.
I also believe a majority of the Israeli public will recognize the need for change, and I believe that holding a new election, once the war starts to wind down, would give Israelis an opportunity to express their vision for the post-war future. Of course, the United States cannot dictate the outcome of an election, nor should we try. That is for the Israeli public to decide, a public that I believe understands better than anybody that Israel cannot hope to succeed as a pariah opposed by the rest of the world.
Well, who is opposing Israel other than those who want to see Israel destroyed and wiped off the face of the map? and a pariah. To call Israel is a pariah at this point. Chuck Schumer also pointed out, as you heard him say, they make their own decisions, and certainly they should do so. He also added another point, Israel is not a colony of America whose leaders serve at the pleasure of the party in power in Washington. Only Israeli citizens should have a say who runs their country. Well, then why are you even mouthing off about it? The party in power in Washington is your president, Joe Biden. I stand corrected. That story just crossed, and at the top of it, it's that was Senator GOP leader Mitch McConnell responding to Schumer. And I'm glad it crossed and I could only catch part of it. That's Mitch McConnell responding critically to Schumer's speech, saying Israel is not a colony of America whose leaders serve at the pleasure of the party in power in Washington, which would be the Biden administration, adding only Israeli citizens should have a say in who runs their government. He's right to the point. But for some reason, Chuck Schumer thinks that it's okay, even in the midst of a war, to criticize the leadership. Now, there will be an accounting. We all know that. There's going to be an accounting as to how October 7 happened, how they let their guard down. But that's a far cry, and he points out then, when the war is winding down, well, you just basically pushed it to a faster resolution in trying to get those inside Israel who want to replace Netanyahu, let's make it happen quicker and sooner. I remind you, Schumer, born in Brooklyn, New York, Jewish, descending from immigrants from Russia. But he's saying it is time for a new election, a change of power in Israel.
Israel cannot hope to succeed as a pariah opposed by the rest of the world. As a democracy, Israel has the right to choose its own leaders, and we should let the chips fall where they may. But the important thing is that Israelis are given a choice. There needs to be a fresh debate about the future of Israel after October 7th. In my opinion, that is best accomplished by holding an election.
Yep. And he just basically put it in play, didn't he? So Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish official in the U.S., said that Netanyahu, the coalition, no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7. Yet at the same time, on the other side of his mouth, he points out, well, it's up to them to make a decision. But Netanyahu no longer fits the need. Let me remind you that he even attacked Netanyahu during a speech against anti-Semitism in November. But today's statement goes further. This is clear, brazen interference in Israeli Democrat politics. And I note that some are saying if anyone had been doing that reference ours, we would denounce it as foreign election interference. Netanyahu, of course, had been replaced briefly by a center-left coalition. He did make a political comeback and was elected in November 2022. With one of the largest majorities in the recent electoral history of the Jewish state. But Democrats have resented Netanyahu ever since he publicly opposed Barack Obama's nuclear deal with Iran. There you have it. Obama administration, the Biden administration, Democrats that find themselves siding with Israel because, or rather, siding against Israel because they did not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. No one should want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. If they don't use it, they might turn it over to their proxies. And Biden himself, if I pointed out to you earlier, let me restate it, actually snubbed Netanyahu after he got elected, but he did eventually soften his relations a little bit. And, of course, he did travel to Israel in October after the Hamas attack. but lately he was caught on a hot mic saying he had told Netanyahu he needed a, quote, this is Biden speaking to Netanyahu, a Jew, saying he needs a come-to-Jesus meeting. Where are the American Jews in this? Well, for one thing, you're probably trying to figure out how you're going to balance your budget with your pay and the increasing cost and rise of consumer goods. And they went up again, and Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says, I got your source.
President Biden is an inflation machine. And you know, we talk about the CPI and the PPI and the NBA and the NFL. The average American doesn't have time to stop and research this. All they know, let me give you a concrete example. My people in Louisiana, median household income, $55,000 a year. Yep. President Biden's inflation is costing them an extra $10,000 a year, and they don't have it.
No kidding.
This was predictable. You can't print, borrow, and spend the kind of money that President Biden has without causing inflation. And I don't know why his colleagues at the White House didn't tell him that.
Yeah.
I some days I think the Biden White House would lower the average IQ of an entire city. I mean, this is really basic economics 101.
Economics 101, but they do not have that and an understanding in the White House or those in charge of what's happening. We are seeing, again, inflation and the consumer product prices for you go up again. We talked to you yesterday and told you about how some of the major chains are dropping actual clerks and having you go through their kiosk and check yourself out. But then they're also, in some cases, are considering and imposing a fee on you to use the kiosk. In other words, you got to pay us to come in and buy anything at our store, because that's another way that they can make up for what they're losing. And here comes Joe Biden with a proposal of a $7.3 trillion budget. The highest we've ever had has been under $5 trillion, and that would have been under Trump. But he also had some major cuts set in mind and where the money and how the money would be spent. I didn't agree with every part of it, and I don't like us continuing to push our federal deficit up more and more. Our federal deficit is at $34 trillion. $34 trillion. Then you consider just the amount of money you need to just pay off the interest on a daily basis. But Treasury Secretary Yellen, who at one time was the executive director of the Fed, was being asked by a Fox Business analyst about the issue of the increasing price of goods and services. Now they just keep going up. And then, of course, you got the president pushing a $7.3 trillion budget, and her answers. If you can find anything to understand in her mumbles, please raise your hand.
We need to bring down the deficit. Yeah. President Biden has proposed tax increases that would modestly increase the amount that corporations and the wealthiest Americans pay. And, you know, I think he considers it unfair for a billionaire to pay a lower fraction of their income in taxes than a hardworking school teacher or firefighter. And that's true for many of the wealthiest Americans.
But even if you add up all the deficits from now through 2034, it's $18 trillion. Add that to $34.5 trillion we already have. You're looking at $53 trillion for the debt. Why not do a balanced budget now? Why not cut something in order to get there?
Well, the president's budget cuts deficits by $3 trillion over the next decade.
Yeah, it's going to cut it over the next decade. Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Some of us may still be here and some may not. So who will remember what she had to say? I know one that probably will not be here or will remember what he promised 10 years from now would probably be Joe Biden. I don't wish him harm. I don't wish him harm at all. But at the same token, you have to ask, where are you going to be in 10 years? And how are you and your family going to survive to get to that 10-year point? And then who's going to remember that promise that supposedly he says, we'll cut the deficit, everything will be good in 10 years? How many times are you going to continue to buy that pig? They're putting lipstick on it again, but it's still a pig. And they promise it's going to be a better pig this time, but it's not. Still going to be a stinky, smelly, farty pig. Now, if you're thinking about bacon, well, then maybe you've got an option for it. But this is what they're going to push on you again. And according to Janet Yellen and her mumbling, well, 10 years down the road, we will definitely have everything set in motion. And we'll make things better for you. Janet Yellen, the more I listen to the woman, again, is another prime example of how does somebody like that get to the position she's been given? Well, apparently, which brings us to maybe a case for DEI that maybe I would like. Maybe we don't want an old white woman serving as head of our Treasury Department. Anyone consider that? Where's the DEI office in the Treasury Department? And someone who has lived and lives in a real-life situation. I want to remind you again, Joe Biden, other than being a swimming pool guard, has never really had a job. He's been involved in politics since his 20s. You do the math. He's 81. You do the math as to how much time he spent in politics, not in business. And yet, he's the one who's telling you, well, we'll take care of everything. Everything will be better in 10 years. You want to live with that dream? I'm telling you right now, I do not think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work for you at all. But there are those who will go along with it, and they will accept it, and they will think, this is okay. We can make it work. We can just get to that 10-year mark. We're going to be better off, I promise you. My question again, as I repeat, where are you going to be in 10 years? Where's your family going to be? And that's assuming things stay as they are. The economy is not going to be static. You know that. In 10 years, will we even have a free economy? Will we have free enterprise? Will we be a Marxist country moving toward communism? All right, before we wrap up this hour, I teased you a little bit in the last hour. You're going to hear Don Lemon Fruitcake in this insane interview he tried to pull off with the owner of X, previously Twitter, Elon Musk, and how he kind of got slapped around. But he gets to make an appearance on CNN again, where he was an anchor at one point, remember, before they fired him. And, of course, we have the issue with TikTok. Confusion for some people. And now we have someone coming forward from the Trump administration saying, maybe I'll buy TikTok. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on. There's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name, or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details, or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The future of TikTok in America is hanging in the balance amid growing pressure from Congress. The House passed legislation yesterday that says the social media app needs to cut ties with its China-based owners, ByteDance, or risk a total ban. The bill is now headed to the very slow-moving U.S. Senate. So we want to take you to know some big questions here. Like, can this really happen if the Senate goes forward? How will it work if it happens? What will the impact be on the users of TikTok? If the Senate takes this up, yep, what are the impacts?
Well, Senate would have to pass it. President would have to sign it. There would be court challenges. But if all that goes through and ByteDance does not divest, the principal impact would be on the app stores. So Apple and Google would not be able to distribute new versions of the app. They would not be able to maintain or update it. Eventually, the TikTok on your phone would turn into a brick. People would stop posting. And TikTok would kind of go away. That's what happened in India when they banned it.
It would slowly die. And then do people stop using that type of social media, or do they migrate?
Some of them migrate. Some of them go to Instagram. Some of them go to YouTube. Some of them go outside and read books and talk to their parents.
Which would be a new option, wouldn't it? Back to the old days of Mayberry. Maybe go fishing. Just sit around a pond with watching the cork bobble in the water. That was a CBS News report on what happened yesterday with the House vote on TikTok. And the response was coming from Nicholas Thompson, former editor of Wired. And, of course, he points out the Senate has to still take it up. And keep in mind, the House voted to ban TikTok if it does not be separated and sold out by its Chinese Communist parent company, ByteDance. So it's not saying it is going to be banned, but if it is, what were the options? Well, they have done it. They have done it in India. They decided a couple of years ago, we're going to get rid of TikTok. They didn't want China having that kind of influence in their country. So they did ban it. And what did the users do? Well, first of all, there was a new creation of a Indian version of TikTok. A chance for you to put up various reels of video, if that's what you wanted to do, things of that nature. But they were already worried about how it might influence what's happening in their country. Again, Nicholas Thompson, the former editor of Wired, had a question posed to him, which was the essential issue for the vote that came down yesterday. Here's his response.
The main thing people say, it's a threat to national security. Is it a threat to national security?
Oh, it's absolutely a threat to national security. There are three ways it could be used against America's national security interest. One, all of the data. They know where all the users are. They can track individuals. They can track populations. You imagine a conflict with China? How useful would that be? Second, propaganda manipulation. You can imagine just putting a little push on the algorithm so news that's bad for Taiwan gets a little extra amplification. Or third, perhaps most likely, let's just make Americans a little more emotional, a little more angry. And you could do that through the algorithm as well. So there are legitimate national security concerns.
And what would it take to make Americans more emotional and more angry? Stolen election? Oh, you can't say that. And yet we have Democrats already saying that if Trump is elected, they will fight against certification of the votes. The very same thing the Republicans were doing on January 6th in a different fashion, at a higher level, and obviously wrong in the way it was carried out, but not near amounting to the punishment that has been imposed and is yet to be imposed. Because they're still making arrests based off of January 6th. In fact, they started escalating it. Why? Well, because we're in election year. Now, when you come down to the vote that took place yesterday, and again, the issue being a threat to national security, we had 50 Democrats and 15 members of the GOP vote no. Now, why would members of the GOP vote against banning TikTok if it's a threat to national security? The answers that they were passing around didn't quite hit the mark as far as Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who did vote yes.
I want to address all of my colleagues who I think are confused about the First Amendment, confused about the nature of TikTok, and confused about the intentions of the Chinese Communist Party. Let me explain this really simple. TikTok is owned by ByteDance. ByteDance is in China. And when you're in China, you have to do whatever the Chinese Communist Party says you have to do. That's according to the national intelligence law passed in 2017. If they want you to spy for them, you will spy for them. That's how that works. They have a board member from the Chinese Communist Party on ByteDance. You wouldn't allow a radio tower owned by the Chinese to be put up right in the middle of Washington, D.C., and then allow it to just put out Chinese propaganda. You'd probably complain about that. That's exactly what TikTok can be used for, because millions of Americans are addicted to it. They see it, and the Chinese can absolutely manipulate those algorithms.
And when they start doing that, much like you were hearing from the editor, a previous editor of Wired, they could start changing things up, maybe incense the public over some issue, or a non-issue for that matter, for anything. Now, Crenshaw was making his remarks before the actual vote, and again, before the vote was taken, he got down to this point.
The primary counterarguments to this bill seem to be as shallow as, you know, well, it doesn't do everything I want, and Facebook's really mean. And I don't want them to make money. So what? Then that means you owe Chinese access to all of our data and access to manipulate the minds of Americans? I don't think so. This is a very specific bill, very specifically tailored. It does not harm American companies or American individuals. You know it. You got to read it. Pass this bill.
And they did. They voted overwhelmingly, a vote of 352 to 65. And among the 65 were, as I said, 50 Democrats, 15 GOP voting no. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that I think I said a couple years ago, but it was really, I think, in 2022, I think it was, that China, or rather India, decided to kick TikTok China out of India. I'm reading a piece written by an Indian software engineer. And he said, TikTok stands out as one of the most widely used applications, enabling users to share videos, maybe social media stardom, And yet there exists a shadowy aspect of the app that often remains unexplored despite its significance. This is an Indian software engineer. And he points out the content varies significantly on an extensive scale, presenting users with entirely different items depending on their location. It's widely known and acknowledged that TikTok has videos that often lack coherence or meaningful content. And there's an abundance of content that endorses problematic behaviors, twerking, pranks on parents, soft porn, nude dancing for increased views. And he said, and in China, TikTok operates under the name Douyin, owned again by the Chinese company ByteDance. But he points out there's a stark contrast between the content you find in China and what users of the rest of the world see. He said China has a policy in place wherein only government-regulated content can receive platform promotions. No other content can be actively promoted, and for that point, probably even make it on. He said in China, the emphasis is on generating valuable content, such as that related to architecture, science, mathematics. Conversely, in other countries, promoting content like stupid dances. He said the irony lies in the world leaders, such as prime ministers and presidents from various nations, extending invitations to such content creators to promote election-themed reels as a means of influencing voters. We know that happens. We know recently Biden went on TikTok. Now, will the Senate go along and decide to ban TikTok if it is not sold to someone else? Well, there is a buyer in the wings, and he's coming forward and making it clear that I can do it and I can make it happen. Former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. He said, I think it should be sold. It's great business, and I'm putting together a group to buy TikTok. The other issue that everyone should be concerned about is freedom of speech, and is the government, should they have the ability to control what you see or don't see? That's a very thin line and a double-edged sword. Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt, and of course the Senate has yet to vote on it, voiced this concern about freedom of speech.
I'm also old enough to remember when people of all political stripes, including liberals, actually believed in free speech. That it was something that we believed provided a part of our national identity. What makes America exceptional is that we can tolerate different points of view, agree and disagree, persuade, be willing to be persuaded, that's a core American value. I think what has happened in the last few years is this debate has somehow gotten off the rails about the willingness of some to actually censor because they disagree or they think something is threatening or they might be misinformation. That might well be true, but the government certainly doesn't have a right to tell you what you can hear and what you can say. It just doesn't. It's fundamental. And they also don't get to outsource that censorship to private parties.
And Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw paid with an eye and threat to his life to fight for that freedom of speech, and yet he voted to ban TikTok. We're not through with this subject and the possible buyer of TikTok. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Pretty woman walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let me make something extremely clear to you. I am against censorship, but there are times there is self-censorship imposed by the journalists themselves. And I'm talking about legitimate journalists. For instance, if we get story, when I was serving as a news anchor and in the full journalism field and not offering commentary and opinion, which is what I do now, I make it very clear to you. I still try to give you the facts on both sides, but then I also offer my opinion and comments. But as a journalist back in those days, if we got word that a woman was being held hostage, maybe the wife of a bank president, and we were told, but if word gets out that law enforcement knows about it, they might kill her. So maybe it'd be best for us not to report the story at that point. I mean, who wants to be the one to report the story, breaking it breathlessly, and then the woman is killed, and then on the witness stand when one of the kidnappers is questioned about why and when did you decide to kill the woman? Well, because we heard it on station X from so-and-so. No, you don't want that to happen. So there are times that you might withhold it for to not create panic and also to save lives. The same thing it gets down to, that you don't report some things from a war zone that would give information to the enemy. The case of self-censorship does exist, and there are good reasons for it from time to time, but to have the government tell you you can't do something that is contrary and is not a matter of helping the enemy, it's just because they don't like it, they don't want it reported. That's a different thing. That's the issue that is really compelling about the TikTok case. We had an overwhelming vote in the House to drop it. If ByteDance, the owners in China, would not sell it, well, then, of course, who's going to have the ability to do so? Former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin was stating in a question with CNBC I think it should be sold. I understand the technology. It's great business. I'm going to try to put together a group to buy TikTok. I am, because it should be owned by U.S. businesses. There is no way the Chinese would ever let a U.S. company own something like this in China, and he's right about that. Of course, he had served as Treasury Secretary under former President Trump. He said, I've spoken to a bunch of people, would not give any of the names of the investors, but he did say we need a combination of investors, not just maybe because of the money, but that's a big factor, but also not one investor controlling it, where we have Twitter and X now controlled by Musk. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Well, we're going to come to that in a moment with Don Lemon Fruitcake. But Mnuchin said the issue is all about the technology. It needs to be controlled by a U.S. business. In fact, he had pointed out that in the past he was the one talking to President Trump saying, I had him sign an order that TikTok had to be sold. I continue to believe that. Well, Trump has reversed on that, saying that, well, maybe we don't need to ban it, but he didn't say anything about selling it. And so I shouldn't say he totally reversed, but does he still stand by divesting it from China? I think he probably would, but I haven't seen a statement to that effect. Mnuchin now leads Liberty Strategic Capital. That's a private equity firm. So they've got a lot of people lined up in that equity firm. And we also now I'm seeing word that there's another group that might be coming in. Some are suggesting you're going to need a tech giant like Microsoft or Oracle that already has a relationship with TikTok, not a financial player like Mnuchin. And then we also have still another name surfacing that maybe they will put together a group and buy it out. That would be former Activision CEO Bobby Kotick. He's been pitching investors, including OpenAI CEO Sam Altman. So we got a lot of guys lining up to take a part of it. But here's part of the issue. As one of them pointed out, a senior equity analyst at Wedbush Securities, ByteDance in China will never sell TikTok with the source code. The source code. Now, I'm not that big on understanding web strategics and things of that nature, but it's described here in the perfect fashion for all of us, even if we're not tech savvy, to understand. The senior equity analyst at Wedbush said the source code is the special sauce that makes the app so successful and valuable. He adds, without that code, it would be like buying an F1 car without an engine. Illogical. So probably won't happen under that context. Now again, TikTok is not banned if it will be divested and owned by U.S. citizens, businesses, instead of China. Senate, of course, still has to act on the House bill and see what changes they even put into it. As it is, they probably won't accept it just the way it is. But we do have another tech group that is under control of just one man now. And for many, they thought that's a good idea. And we've seen a lot of changes. We do like some, we don't. That, of course, would be Twitter, formerly known as X. And Don Lemon Fruitcake was doing an interview with CNN after he did an interview with Musk. And here's what Don Lemon Fruitcake had to say.
I wanted to know if he felt any responsibility as someone who has one of the largest social media and information platforms in the world.
A quarter billion people.
I think it's 455 or 500 million users a week. And it doesn't seem that he feels that he has any responsibility with that, because he seemed really averse to facts. That facts did not matter to him. It didn't matter that he retweeted things that were offensive to people. And this whole, the whole idea of what I was asking him about, it, was it offensive? And did he feel that his platform should have better moderation?
Oh my God. There is former CNN anchor, Don Lemon Fruitcake, talking about moderation and better content control and sticking to facts. Are you kidding me? one of the hosts from CNN that they jettison when they're trying to decide maybe we should try to at least appear to be more nonpartisan and more, quote, journalistic type. Get rid of Don Lemon Fruitcake and Chris Cuomo and a couple of others. Don Lemon, of course, had something else going for him because he saw what Tucker Carlson has done with Twitter. And so he got his own program on X. And the new program was going to be, I think I saw the title of it. It fit perfectly. Don Lemon, I don't know, some kind of nonsense. But what he was trying to do is begin to create the kind of audience that Tucker Carlson has. There's no way in hell that's going to happen. But then he did this interview with Musk and ends up getting have a chance to be interviewed on his old network again because Musk did not take kindly to the interview and ended up canceling Don Lemon's program on Twitter. So here was part of the interview with Lemon questioning Musk, and you can tell by the reactions and response, terse as they are, from Musk, you have no idea what you're talking about, and I don't like you.
Do you believe that X and you have some responsibility to moderate hate speech on the platform? That you wouldn't have to answer these questions from reporters about the Great Replacement Theory as it relates to
Democrats? I don't have to answer these questions.
The Great Replacement Theory as it relates to Jewish people. Do you think that?
I don't have to answer questions from reporters. Don, the only reason I'm doing this interview is because you're on the X platform and you asked for it. Otherwise, I would not do this interview.
So you don't think, do you think that you wouldn't get in trouble or you wouldn't be criticized for these things?
I'm criticized constantly. I could care less.
Illuminating in so many ways. All right, I have two things I want to ask you about that, Don. First, the Great Replacement Theory.
Right.
As you bring it up, he has tweeted, a tweet he shared, increasing illegals boost Dem voting power, causing them to recruit more. If Dems win President, House, and Senate, they'll grant citizenship to all illegals, and America will become a permanent one-party deep socialist state. Right? He has gone there directly. How much does he stand by these ideas?
Well, first of all, it's his opinion. And it is his platform. He can say it. And there's some things that have been on there, even under Musk leadership, I don't like. I'll give you a perfect example. After the Hamas attack on Israel in early October, Musk used his X platform to call on Iran's Khomeini to change his anti-Israeli stance. Khomeini's official position, according to Musk, is very clear. The eradication of Israel is the actual goal, not just supporting Palestinians. X pointed out to a post Khomeini made October 8, in which he shared video, Khomeini sharing video footage of the hundreds of festival goers fleeing the massacre of the Hamas militia, and did that violate X rules? Well, Musk said that it in the public interest to keep the post accessible, and also saying we do have kind of a UN exclusion rule. You can have, say, the Ayatollah, who would prefer that Israel didn't exist, but he's allowed to go to the UN building in New York. Generally, officials from Iran do not go to the UN building, even though they're a heavily sanctioned country. So in an interview with Joe Rogan, Musk pointed out, but you do want to have the leaders of countries represented on social media. You want to hear what they have to say, even if what they say is terrible. Now, obviously, if I were in favor of censorship, I'd say Khomeini should not be on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But we don't want the government taking that role. This is a privately held country. If a company with Musk, if he decides to cancel and not let him on, that's his option. So Don Lemon is trying to say, hey, you know, aren't you responsible for keeping this kind of stuff off? And once again, Lemon got a chance to expand his old job at CNN.
He doesn't understand that sort of rhetoric that he talks about, the Great Replacement Theory and a migrant invasion. That's what radicalized shooters use in their manifestos, those exact words. the people who go and shoot up people, whether they be Latino people who live in Texas or black people who are in a supermarket in Buffalo or Jewish people who are worshiping, those people use the same rhetoric, that they are tropes, that they're either racist for Latinos or black people or for Jewish people.
Now, Don Lemon Fruitcake made it very careful as to who he identified as active shooters in the supermarket in Buffalo, and the rhetoric that they're either racist for Latinos or black people or Jewish people. He did not address transgender shooters that walk into schools and kill children, did he? Or any others that information is still not fully public on why and how they carried out their crimes. So he's falling right back into the same old trap, and that's what Musk pointed out, and that is why they decided to kill the Don Lemon program. The ex-CEO announced the platform is shifting to video first, and what they're saying, Lemon claimed, Musk, a self-proclaimed free speech absolutist, was mad at him over that tense interview, which was going to be included in the premiere episode of the Don Lemon Show next week. And then in a quick video on X before they pulled it down, he said, apparently free speech does not apply when it comes to questions about him from people like me, like he's a special journalist. He said, there were no restrictions on the interview that he willingly agreed to. My questions were respectful, wide-ranging, covering everything from SpaceX to the presidential elections. In a separate post, he said, I agreed to join X with a new show after Musk encouraged me to do so. Then there's a report from the Puck publication stating Don has a deal with X, expects he's going to be paid for it. He has a lawyer ready to go to court for it. Well, another side said that X did not have a signed contract with Lemon. There was a mutual understanding they'd have an agreement soon, but Don pulled the pin a little early. He does not have it written down that he gets his program on Twitter, so therefore there's nothing that can hold him account to. Just hours before Lemon announced that X dropped his show, and X did not specify why it did not decide to go ahead and partner with Lemon, other than saying, like any enterprise, we reserve the right to make decisions about our business partnerships. And after careful consideration, X decided not to enter into a commercial partnership with that show, which is certainly their entitlement. Well, then Lemon, just before, as I say, X dropped his show, had posted, or Musk had posted, free speech is the bedrock of democracy. But here's Don Lemon Fruitcake back on CNN and then say, well, apparently they don't really believe that. No, what Don Lemon Fruitcake was trying to again sell is that I'm a journalist, I ask good questions, and we know that Musk is all pushing about Trump and homophobia and anti-brown and yellow and black people, and he won't admit to it. We'll see what Don Lemon tries next, as if I could really care. He made millions doing the job he had. When you, as I say, well, I don't know, what's the phrase you want to use? Let's go with this one. When you decide to relieve yourself in your own office, you're probably going to be kicked out of that office. There. That's about as politely as I can say it. Acceptable? Rob Carter coming up, and let me remind you of our pledge. One nation under God.